So nefarious, so nefarious. Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save your life.
But except for himself, he's got a lot to say.
Yeah, sure, I'll start it.
Okay, good.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, we're podcasting.
We're podcasting.
Cool.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Octavarius Podcast. This is episode 81 of the podcast.
Look out.
Woo.
81.
Time for fun.
Feeling 11.
Is anybody born in 81?
No.
We're going to get there in the next couple weeks,
We're getting there. Well, I got nothing else interesting to start this off. So, we're in a slightly different situation since we're broadcasting from Arkham Studios this week. So let's start with Mark. Sound off, and we'll just go clockwise, I guess.
Well, it's Mark.
Well, I guess it's Cloud.
It's Brian. Thanks to everybody that came to the show yesterday. Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah,
it was incredible.
Or if you're listening to this later, thanks for the past 2 weeks.
I'm Keith.
I'm Chris, and I ain't thankful for nothing.
My name is Scott.
Tins.
It's LP.
Makula.
And luckily, even though we're in a little bit of a new environment as far as our recording studio, we're still just as equipped as ever. Oh, shit!
Oh,
wait, what?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I forgot something.
The microphones?
Can't remember what it is.
The microphone stands?
Yes, I forgot.
We're using only Beebles.
Four Beebles.
That's really funny, the people who have been with us since podcast 4.
Mailbag is what I always forget. That's right.
Oh, shit. Well, we got to end the podcast now.
Yeah,
we can't do it.
Thanks for coming, Uncle Fun.
Words of wisdom. A goat once traveled east.
Oh, my God, you guys. I have it. I have it right here. It was in my pocket the whole time. It must have been in there since.
I don't know if that'll pick up. Well, we'll see. Yeah. That will.
I was wondering where the corkscrew went.
Like, this letter comes to us from Mr. Barnum Bailey. And Barnum writes...
No.
Come one, come all, to this letter I've written to Octavarius. It is the greatest letter on earth. Then he drew three rings. In the first ring of the letter, it says, "Hey, you guys, I love circuses. They're like the best thing ever. Can you please talk about them in your podcast?" And then in the second ring, it says, "Also, I'd like to do mine under a giant tent, and there's a museum about me in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Check it." And the third ring just says, "What's up with that?"
I had to get a picture of you, Mark, literally reading that corkscrew.
What a self-aggrandizing... I mean, that was just totally masturbatorian about him.
Didn't you see any of the stuff about Mr. Barnum? He's like that, Chris.
What was that P.T. Barnum quote? It was like, there's a sucker born every...
Every minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, sucker born every minute.
Yeah, but this was Barnum Bailey, not P.T. Barnum, so I don't know why you're relating it to that.
Also, the museum in Baraboo, has anybody been there?
I have. Yeah.
Me too.
World.
It's not all about Barnum and Bailey. It's all circuses. And it's pretty amazing in Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Yeah. I always wondered why Baraboo.
Aren't the Flying Willendas based out of there?
There's a family base there.
Yes.
Circuses in general are a huge Midwest thing.
I just tossed out Flying Willendas like everybody knew what that is. Does everybody know who Flying Willendas are?
All I know is that my dad said the Flying Willendas are from Baraboo, and that's why the museum's there.
Okay, so the Flying Willendas are one of, if not the most famous circus family.
Because they can fly. It's amazing.
They are incredible trapeze artists.
Oh.
And some of the greatest trapeze artists you'll ever see in your entire life. And they are based out of Baraboo, Wisconsin.
It's me, Jeff Willen.
And I was fortunate enough to go and see them when I was a kid. And, I don't remember a whole lot specifically because I was so young. But I do remember how much I loved seeing them fly.
They had such a great show. And sometimes circuses can be a little scary, but but the Flying Lendas, the scary part was really just their death-defying feats. But it was all with so much grace, power, and beauty. It was amazing, and I highly recommend looking them up. They're just wonderful.
Dude, whatever happened to them?
They still exist. They're still around. Gone. Yeah, it's just.
I don't know.
When
like
was the last time you went to a circus, Nick?
Cirque du Soleil, fourth grade.
Okay, so like the thing is these things are still going on.
Okay.
It's just that we aren't necessarily the audience that keeps going to these things.
I would go. My grandfather would come and take us all to the circus every year.
Every single year.
Well, like when we were kids, and this was he didn't do that much else with us. He was my dad's father, and he's usually very busy, often living in Las Vegas. But when we were kids, he was around more often, and he would take us all to the circus because he was like, kids must love the circus. It's great. And I don't think any of us really liked the circus that much.
Really? I had such a burning passion for circus.
I got real sick off cotton candy once.
Plus, how do you get sick off cotton candy?
Because you eat a ton of it.
Mark doesn't know when to stop eating.
Did you really just overeat on the cotton
Probably.
Candy?
Well, also, and then there are three strikes. One, cotton candy, I got sick. Two, my parents never bought me one of those sweet light-up swords. Well, I always wanted one.
Everyone now, dude.
Yeah, then, I got
yeah,
one.
Yeah, buy a lightsaber.
I didn't get one. My parents didn't buy me useless bullshit. I was the third boy. I already learned their lesson twice about buying useless bullshit.
We were also in Tennessee, so they're like, go make a golf course by yourself.
Here's a car.
I missed having one so much that when I went to go see the circus at our college, I bought one for myself.
That's awesome. So good.
Did you, LP? I know since you didn't go to ISU, you probably don't know this. Are you aware of the circus at ISU?
No.
The Gamma Phi Circus?
It's like the oldest collegiate circus, right?
Which I did not realize. I didn't know there were many collegiate circuses.
There aren't many.
There's two left. There's one.
Yeah.
I thought
really?
There was
Florida.
So
there's one in Florida, and then there's ISU.
No, because though it's at a school. Is it a clown college too?
It's not a clown college. It's more like a
fraternity.
It's kind of like a fraternity.
It's sort of an RSO, registered student organization, combined with a fraternity.
Okay.
It's really well known. Like it even. I
so
was reading.
You have to go to your own clown
it.
College in order to get in there.
Well, no,
they provide you with training.
They provide you with training. They have like open call, rehearsal, party days, and then
audition.
At some point they sort of do auditions and they sculpt the show from August all the way until March or April when they put it on.
It's really interesting. Like you'll see these people on the quad randomly. Like you'll see a tightrope strung up on the quad in between two trees, and a bunch of people just like in their going to school clothes, just trying to figure out how to do the tightrope.
And then it's a circus without animals. So all of these folks are just using feats of athleticism and grace to entertain you. So you'll have acrobats, trapeze artists. There's a lot of stuff with fire, juggling with fire. Jumping through hoops of fire.
Launching each other on catapults.
Yeah.
They do like a five-man
There's like those silks.
Silks?
Yeah, the silks where they're like grabbing onto those big silk like drapes suspended from the ceiling. Doing
the silks so sexy, Lord.
Yeah.
I actually got to go to an open house for Game Fest Circus, and I just got to play on everything. I did like the wheel you go in. I get to play in the wheel. There's a giant foam pit, and I was just in heaven. I was like doing flips in the foam pit and like all the stuff, and I get to try doing different lifts. And yeah, you get the tightrope, you get to try everything.
And they have clowns.
See,
they have clowns too.
I think the big thing about the circus that makes it so fun is because the circus is like a haven for outcasts. Like, there's that old saying, like, whenever I watch an old-timey movie and some kid's talking about how rotten his lousy life is, they always ask, what are you going to do, run away and join the circus?
Well, they had the, I think it was last year, thereabouts, PBS did a big documentary just called Circus. And that's what a lot of these people are. That they're runaways, they were, you know, fucked up in school or, you know, got into some trouble with the law or whatever, and they're... easiest or best solution was
to run away and join the circus. Now, they weren't all, they didn't all become trapeze artists and clowns. A lot of them, like, ended up digging pits to fit the big top and everything.
A lot of them ended up as freaks.
No.
I would actually say, because I actually watched the documentary, Bill Nerd, like, people come from all walks, people come from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. Like, that one lady was like, yeah, I was working on Wall Street, and I just was not happy with my life, and so, she's like, I was doing trapeze on weekends, and then I just made the decision, like, this is what I want to do.
You know what's interesting is something I learned today, is that Steve-O from Jackass...
Uh-huh.
Graduated from what is considered to be one of the most exclusive colleges in America, which is the Barnum and Bailey Clown College.
Yes.
Steve-O went to a clown college?
Yeah, yeah. I graduated.
I thought it closed down.
It did in 97.
Yeah.
People that go to clown college get like great things.
I seriously thought about doing that for a portion of my life. Granted, I was a young person, but I made a decision to do what I was going to do, or what I'm doing now, when I was about 11. So I was pretty sure on what I wanted to do, but yeah, in '97 it closed down, and so that ended up that ended my thoughts on doing any clowning and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was very seriously thinking about it because I had such a passion and such a fascination with the circus. When I was a kid, I would just watch the hell out of this Ringling Brothers videotape of when. I believe it was the circus when they had the unicorn. It was they put a horn on a goat, you know? And
wait, what?
They put a horn on a goat, so it was like a solo horn on a goat, so it was a unicorn.
But why not a horse?
Because it was...
Horses are expensive.
Yeah, and it was all part of like this story. It was silly, but the actual acts in that circus were amazing. They had some of the greatest clowns in... the history of the world in that show, and they also had my favorite circus star ever, Gunther Gabriel Williams, in it. Gunther Gabriel Williams, his entire family, the Gable Williamses, I'm assuming.
The flying Gable Williams?
No, they were. No, the Gunther Gabriel Williams was a lion tamer, and he also dealt with tigers, lions, leopards, all of these vicious big cats, and he of course has been attacked by the big cats as other people have, but he just always seemed I never felt that connection with nature and connection with animals, but when I saw Gunther with his cats. The leopards, the lions, and the tigers, holy shit, was there a connection between them. And his shows were always amazing. His sons, his daughters, and his wife all were in it. And that's the fun thing about the circus, too, is it's usually families.
Mm-hmm.
It stays in the family. And that's something really cool to see, too.
It's weird, because they can't run away and join the circus.
They just already are.
Yeah, you have to go to like business school.
What are you gonna do? Run away and join Wall Street?
Join the Air Force?
Well, in that documentary, there's like some lady that would just tutor these younger kids because they've grown up in the circus. That's all they know. And it's almost the opposite of what we're talking about, where they're like, "Yeah, this is all I know. I really just kind of want to be normal and like go to school." you get kind of sick of it.
Yeah, well, because like still to this day. No matter how many other things we have to keep ourselves entertained, the circus is always referred to as, like, the opposite of real life. I'm a big, like, politics junkie, and I like watching C-SPAN and, like, boring shit like that. And whenever it starts getting, like, overly bombastic and there's these big stunts that people are doing and no one's actually talking about the issues... it's always referred to as a circus. And politics is always referred to as a circus when, the things they're doing, like, it's very theatrical and people are very silly, but it's always used as, like, just the alternative to real life. Like, are we going to get down to business or is this just a fucking circus? You know?
I want to blow your mind for a second.
Yeah.
What if, like... okay, yeah. What if, like, the circus is actually humans functioning at their fullest potential, like super, super high potential, and we are the freaks and weird people for not being so disciplined and not like working at that potential, and you know, just like sitting computers and watching TV and
well, I mean,
the freaks.
Probably because they don't serve to better humanity as a whole. They only entertain and clown around, and working on a computer, although boring, helps create more connections with us as people, which betters us as a society and a race.
And that's, I guess
so
that's...
No, we're right. We're totally right. No, we're absolutely right, and those circus freaks are freaks, and that's it.
No, Lisa, the other word they use is sideshow. They say mm-hmm. it's a sideshow because I think a reason why people love the circus and why people like that in general is because it is a distraction. You know, like, a society cannot function without all these important things, without people going through the daily 9-to-5 and doing all these unpleasant things we have to do to make a society work. That the circus has always served as the opposite, where, you know, young and old, men and women, women and children of all ages... can come and take their minds off that, because it's exactly what that is. It's the inverse of that. It's just, you know, the ultimate self-expression, testing your limits on what you can do, this big performance art type thing. And, you know, the circus only works because not everyone can run away and join it.
But why? I don't understand why that's a sideshow. That's a whole other thing. That's an aspect of a circus. A circus is a whole thing.
I always thought the sideshow was like the second billing kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's literally a sideshow.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Because
right.
In politics, it's
always like something else. You know, you don't want someone to be focusing on, you know, something you're really shitty or you're really, like, screwing your constituents over. So you just do some sort of big thing to go, look over here, focus on this thing instead. And, you know, that is the, you know, I mean, the circus, if we were all a bunch of clowns
I am. That's what I do.
But we are. And that's why people go and see comedians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the same premise. Like, like the circus can't be mainstream. It needs to be something you can escape into.
Yeah, you know? I think even most comedians are sort of like clowns that are much more relatable to people that do fall a little bit more into the mainstream.
I agree. Bozo
the Clown.
Yeah.
There.
Is that what
you're
gonna say? I'm sorry.
No. I mean,
where are you going with this, Nick?
I was going to ask Brian this question about clowns, because I know you love clowns and you study clowns. And I haven't studied clowns that much, but would you... I was recently watching one of my favorite comedies last week. I was actually showing LP at A Shot in the Dark.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't there for that, was I?
No, you were there.
Oh,
you were
laughing. I was, that's right.
And LP... I was watching LP... I've seen the movie like 30 times. I was like, I wonder if LP's going to find this as funny as I do. And I was watching you laugh, LP, and then kind of be like, am I really laughing at this? But then you were laughing again. Would you say that, like, Peter Sellers and as Inspector Clouseau, trying to be a human, but also equally, not like a farce in the sense of, like, running around like a maniac, but, you know, falling over, burning his coat, putting whipped cream on his nose, like, completely a clown, but a clown set in a more realistic environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. Just because he doesn't wear a red nose doesn't mean he's not a clown.
Yeah.
He's
mm-hmm.
totally a clown.
In fact,
Clouseau is a clown. Marx Brothers.
A bunch of us just watched Duck Soup the other day. Like, all the Marx Brothers are total clown. In fact, Groucho Marx is almost, he's almost got the attire of a clown.
Yeah.
Just instead of a red clown nose, he's got the glasses and wipe on mustache.
Yeah.
It's totally, yeah. And very often when we're doing shows, we wear outfits that are silly. They are exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
We are clowns.
Yeah, we. I mean, that is what we do.
But that can even
be clown.
That can even. I mean, that even works.
Yeah, I would say that.
I'm like, you know, you look at the people who. Again, I keep making this political because I'm the political one in Octavarius. The John Stewart and Glenn Beck are both people who, like, people take them seriously. People take both of them seriously. They have a lot of people. Their words mean a lot to what
they
say.
But they both are clowns.
They're both clowns.
Yeah.
They both go up there, and they're doing something serious.
Yes.
But they still, they go up there, and, you know, it is all an act. And a lot of it is exaggerated. And it is to take this day-to-day life and them kind of pointing out the absurdity of it all.
Like, then what's the separation of a comedian? Because, like, I don't necessarily, I wouldn't call myself a clown.
I can clown.
Yeah. Around.
Fuck you. You're totally a clown.
No, you're totally.
Like, yeah, people. There's a total misconception that you need to, like, be in full clown makeup or anything.
Yeah.
Like you're saying. To
no,
be
I
a
know
clown.
Two clowns. To be silly.
Maybe
I can be silly, but I'm not. Always
yeah, but
silly.
Maybe clown. It's not a misconception. It's that other people are trying to generalize clown to make it more acceptable.
They're,
yeah, I guess
perhaps clowns really should just be the people dressed up as clowns and being silly with physical actions as well as gestures and entirely dressed as that. But we think, like, well, clowning is comedy, and comedians are doing comedy, so comedians are all clowns.
Yeah,
which
it's
isn't
like
true because there are different types.
Saying
of
that
comedians.
I'm a stand-up comedian.
There,
people
but there,
call me a stand-up comedian all the time, but I'm not. I'm an improviser.
There are all, but there are. The thing is a. There are. You know what? You know this even better, Lisa. The different types of
clowns.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you tell them about that? Because I could go into that too.
Well, yeah. Yeah, there's a ton of types of clowns. Like, there's bouffant clowns, which are really grotesque, and it's a whole other category. And
these are archetypal characters, clowns.
That all
like
fall into this sort of clown universe.
Yes, LP, you can be silly, but a lot of times you'll play, you know, straight, and then, you know, you'll come out with a witty, you know, jibe, or you'll do a play with your words and
you
doing something incorrect.
To back you up on this, Brian, you think about, like, historians and people who study, like, Shakespearean plays, they call the comedic relief a clown.
Yes.
And they're not, like, Touchstone, Puck, they're not necessarily wearing a clown costume.
Mm-hmm.
They just are
I'm on a site right now that says there are the types of clowns are white-faced, August,
mm-hmm.
Tramp Hobo, and Character.
Those are more of the
In my
okay, Chris has thought of anything.
Yeah, Chris has thought of anything.
Go right
ahead. I was just gonna say, I have the dictionary definition of a clown, too. If people want,
take it. Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
It's a comic performer, as in a circus, theatrical production or the like, who wears an outlandish costume and makeup. And entertains by pantomiming common situations or actions in exaggerated or ridiculous fashion by juggling or tumbling, etc. If you cut out the by juggling or tumbling, that's all of us.
Yeah,
we do.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm as terrifying as clowns are, because they're terrifying.
That's like, that's
fear.
Out of context.
Clown. That's like a circus clown.
There are different types of those circus clowns.
Yeah.
There are some that are much more in your face that are very terrifying. But there are some circus clowns that have a completely different style.
Each person has their own clown within them.
What?
Don't say that. That's gross.
No,
say it louder, Scott.
It's like John Wayne Gacy. He had his own style.
Yes.
He was a clown.
Did.
Oh, now, would you have him be an August clown? What is he?
If you want to know, John Wayne Gacy was a white face.
Okay, great.
He was a white face. At least in the
that
photos
that
I saw. No, that was one of the things that LP listed on.
Oh, I know. I remember. I'm just now realizing it sounds racist. I remember hearing
it's because
before.
Of the white makeup.
Yeah, I know.
But
I feel I take offense to that because I'm white, and I feel like that generalizes my race.
Well, I guess if you want to go more into the generalization, LP, you want to read what a white face clown is.
All right, white face clowns. There are three types of white face clowns. There's a straight white face, there's a European white face, and the grotesque white face.
What's the difference?
Let's see. Because
Bozo was a white face, too.
Bozo
is great.
I think it says here
and
Bozo.
And he made white people look really stupid.
Was a goose. That's what they were saying.
Bozo was a goose?
Yeah, the most comical of all clowns.
Oh, yes.
The most.
A goose. And then makeup, highly colorful, isn't a goose a clown. Whereas the white, it looks like it's mainly white with just very little color around the eyes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see how Bozo would be more of an agusta.
Yeah, and then there's the tramp hobo.
He's the most clown.
He's the vagabond. He's the one you laugh at because he's worse off than you.
The tramp hobo clown is like the most interesting kind of clown to me.
Harpo did that a lot too.
Yeah, but it just seems interesting that that sort of archetype came about. Like, it exists in the first place.
Well,
yes, you feel sympathetic for them, you feel bad for them.
But I think it might have been created as ridicule more than anything. The people who go see, who pay to see things, are the rich people.
Yes.
Wouldn't they love to laugh at the poor?
To laugh at that the asshole in the broken hat.
That's true. But very often in our stories, throughout time, it is usually through the eyes of that tramp, that poor person, that we discover new things. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I'm sure in some part it was born out of ridicule,
yeah.
But then in other ways it's used to highlight another aspect of society.
Probably because it probably was the poor people cast in those parts, uh-huh. And they took it upon themselves to change the voice of ridicule into a voice of significance.
You know, what you're saying reminds me of something
that
happened to me the other day. Yeah, well, the other day, there's a hobo that works or that hangs around my coffee shop. This hobo sleeps in front of the coffee shop. He is just well known as that street corner hobo. And there's a very wealthy lawyer customer of mine who came in to me to have some coffee. And he said, "Did you see the hobo out front? He's just sleeping right out in front of the parking garage in broad daylight, just snoring in the middle of the sidewalk. God, what I wouldn't give to be him right now."
that's
something that we have. And when we see him, and he's a very smiley guy, nobody dislikes him. But everyone knows he's our street corner hobo.
Well, clowns are like people at their simplest form. Like I said before, everyone has their own clown within them. There's entire classes and like all crazy things devoted to finding your clown.
That's one interesting thing is clowns are always the ones who can tell the truth. Like the jester was the only one that could speak truth to the king. You're the only one because you're a clown. And when you're a clown, no one's taking you seriously.
Yeah,
you know?
And Shakespeare too.
Yeah, exactly. So the jester can always speak the truth and everyone will laugh because they acknowledge that it's true. Because mm-hmm. That's what comedy is. I mean, I always thought comedy was
truth
just everyone...
in comedy?
Was just people being like, oh, okay, yeah, we all know that that's true, but I guess we never thought of it that way.
Yeah, it's pointing out truth.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So it's just the kind of ridiculousness that is real life. And that, you know... The better to articulate that than like some fucking clown, like someone you can't get mad at. He's just a clown.
I had a hard time realizing that I was a clown for a while. I had a lot of struggles with that, accepting it, because there are some things that are not okay with being a clown.
Yeah, like juggalos.
People can't. Well, I was gonna get to that eventually, but I was just gonna say, at its base, everyone knows you should never trust a clown. And when people find out that I do comedy, I feel very quickly that they become suspicious of me, like I'm about to play a prank on them, mm-hmm. or they are about to be the butt of a joke. Because once you discover that you have a clown amongst you,
no one trusts me in this apartment.
No one, because you're the biggest clown.
I am a clown. And
you are probably the biggest clown I know.
Probably, I'm happy about it, but no one trusts me in this apartment.
Yeah, I know, Makula, you're a total clown. Dude.
You're just a trickster.
You are, yes. Yeah.
But you're really shitty, like a clown. Clowns never succeed.
They succeed in some way, but then fail.
Yeah they always fail.
Or they fail numerously and then occasionally succeed.
Yeah. Makula's like
you said numerously.
Numerously, yes.
I feel like Makula is a clown with the archetype of a trickster.
Thank you.
I don't know if it's...
I've always wanted to be that kind of person. I'm happy that happened.
Okay.
Like the Riddler and the Joker combined.
You do. No, Makula... I mean, how many pranks do you think Makula plays a week?
Well, here's the thing about his pranks.
He said in quotations.
Yeah, without... Yeah. they're ridiculous and often nonsensical, which I guess is clown-like. But
very clown-like.
For instance, I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast before, but Spoon Points was huge for a little while. We played that.
It'll come back.
It was silly.
It
comes in waves. Yeah.
It
does.
It's been going on for years, LP.
Yeah. Yeah.
A quick recap of Spoon Points. He would.
Spoon Points, for those who are unaware, is a game where you get somebody to discover spoons unexpectedly. Much like Vanilla Points is making someone experience vanilla unexpectedly, Spoon Points, it essentially boils down to hiding spoons for someone to eventually find down the road. And some of us find it more amusing than others.
Yeah, we
just hide spoons on people.
Yeah,
much.
So they, you know, open the medicine cabinet when they're brushing their teeth at night, and like six or seven spoons might fall out. Spoon Points.
Ah, God, spoons.
I gotta put these spoons away. Actually,
now.
I have to mention this. Makula had been planning one epic Spoon Point on someone in this room.
What?
And it's gonna be great. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm aware of that. It's going to be awesome.
It's
yeah.
So good.
Who's that Spoon Point?
What is it? I'm going to be getting married, and then instead of, like, the DJ I order, you just get the band Spoon.
I mean, that'd be pretty sweet. I love Spoon. Yeah. I love Spoon, but...
And
that'd be some sweet spoon points.
I dare you to find me a man with more spoon points than Nick Makula.
Yeah, he's winning.
Nick Makula has the most spoon points by far.
Dude, it's a race between me and him right now to get a photo with the band Spoon just to send to the other person.
Yeah, I always win.
I can't wait to take a photo with Spoon and give you the finger.
No, okay, one of you's got to throw the gauntlet. What do you get if you get the picture with Spoon first?
I'm just going to frame it and give it to Nick so that he can have it in his house for the rest
steaks
of his life.
There's
got to be some steaks. Raise the steaks.
First of all, include some steaks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's where I was going.
We're
fucking poor. No.
First of all, here's what I'm going to propose. Here's what I'm going to propose.
Because Spoon, you're not poor.
Because Spoon is a band that I feel like is getting a lot more popularity in the past couple of years. Not a whole lot of people really would recognize Spoon the band if they saw them.
Spoon Man, right?
Yeah, sure.
In the chat room, Amy Sarah just mentioned Spoon Man.
I might suggest is you have your race to get a picture with Spoon, but all of Spoon must be holding spoons in the picture.
Look, damn. Okay? Look, if somebody gets a photo with Spoon, I feel like that's good enough. If you can get
at least get the
spoon,
bassist to hold a spoon.
If you can get it to happen, awesome. Then
if someone has, then it's double Spoon Points.
Just always have spoons on you. That's easy.
Well, someone bet me a steak dinner on this because I think I can do this.
Because here's the thing. If I can do this, I'm just going to give it to you in a plaque. And I'll have a plaque made in one of those sports trophy places.
It'll be a plaque with a picture of a steak on the plaque.
You could just have on the plaque, it would be engraved, steak.
Well, you guys will have to figure that out, because I enjoy that prospect. And I'm tired of being part of long-term stake bets.
I don't have the money for this shit.
Neither do I.
You can do it. Makula and I have an understanding. We are both poor clowns.
Yes. I wear baggy jeans. I dress like a modern-day chaplain.
I listen to rich people's stories about hobos.
Penniless.
You know, I feel like I should talk about how I juggled for so long in my life. Yeah, that's a big time.
You did.
I've tried many times. I've never been able to do it.
I learned actually watching an episode of Full House.
No way.
The very one where Stephanie is going to a circus, but they get locked in this auto repair shop somehow. So Uncle Jesse,
I remember that
puts
episode.
On a little circus.
Oh my God! Yes.
For her, and he juggles, but he juggles like someone just taught him to juggle that afternoon. Not very well, just well enough. Just well enough that his awkward pattern was actually, you could see what he was doing. Because a juggler makes it look it's so quick and fluid that it looks like, that's impossible, how do they do that? But an awkward, like a beginner juggler, you can see exactly what they're doing. So I saw him
sort of juggling, and I rolled up some socks and started practicing.
Yeah,
juggling.
I actually had, I think I had Kleenexes that I, like, put rubber bands or something on the end of, so they flew sort of like badminton birdies instead of, like, a ball would. I remember just watching, like, 2 hours of, like, British Who's Line while I kept practicing throwing these Kleenexes back and forth, and I got it eventually.
I learned how to juggle my freshman year. My roommate actually joined the circus. And one thing my friends and I all did, everyone on the floor, in the beginning of the year, we said, we're all going to teach each other one thing. We want to each teach each other one talent. And the kid was like, I'm going to teach everyone to juggle. So it's like the first couple weeks there, he just had like some cool, like these little like chain mesh juggling balls that he would
chain
throw around.
Chain mesh?
Yeah, he did a lot of things with chain mesh. but yeah, we all learned how to juggle. So I know like how to like do like basic juggling in like one trick. Was like, I learned to juggle.
I tried so hard. I dated a juggler / clown. I'd still never learn how to juggle.
That's right, you did.
I got up to juggling knives and torches.
No way.
Oh, jeez.
And,
what?
Yeah, I juggled three balls, like, exceptionally well. I can do a lot of tricks, I can do a lot of simple tricks. So I decided, I could, like, learn clubs. And I actually... Here's Keith being forced to make things out of garbage. My first set of juggling pins, I looked up online how you can make juggling pins out of just newspaper. And it tells you how to roll up newspaper so that it's a balanced weight for like that will spin in the air. And so I did that, and I wrapped it up in like duct tape or something. So these were heavy as shit. They were so heavy that when I actually I got good enough, and then I bought a pair of really... A set of three really light juggling clubs in the mail, and they were so light that I like could not get them for so long because I was just whipping them so hard.
Hands just weren't used to that motion.
But then I learned that, and I got better clubs, and I learned had to do like juggling rings, which is really easy. If you can juggle balls, you can juggle rings. Then I learned to do like that Diablo thing, the big yo-yo
between
two sticks and a string. I can do that pretty well. Then I did those rhythm sticks. Those suck though. They're boring.
I would think that the Diablo thing is pretty boring too. From what I've seen with it.
Oh no, it's neat. Because it's like it's you have to sort of be inside of it as you do these tricks. You have to get really close to this big thing. So it's so that you're manipulating such a big object. So that's sort of neat.
Maybe I just didn't bother to go past
like when
step
you do
one of learning
knives
it.
And torches. It's neat because like what a weird object to be able to just manipulate.
Sure.
You know who loves that is kids.
Oh yeah,
kids are juggling impressed knives? As hell by juggling.
Oh man, watching yeah. I babysit and I juggle.
I think it's amazing.
It's just like it's like a magic act for children.
Yeah. Okay, are clowns primarily for children?
No, I think
or are clowns just for everyone all
oh
the time?
Oh my god,
for
dude.
Everyone.
Bozo!
Bozo!
Bozo
was the king.
Really it was like a children's show, though.
Yeah, but he also had an awesome show, and he also inspired Krusty the Clown.
And adults.
Krusty is such an amazing clown.
I think I talked about it before. My family and I were on the Bozo show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh god! Like what an amazing thing! And we had one right here in Chicago that was national on WGN, and we got to when we were on WGN we got to go into the Bozo studio.
The Bozo bucket.
Mm-hmm.
We did. We played
it was amazing.
Game.
It was amazing.
It was
so
amazing.
Jealous.
I was losing my shit.
Yeah.
Wait, Scott,
he had other
Lord,
great
did
clowns
you win
too.
No, it's actually kind of a sad story. So
I'm ready. Let's do it.
I know. I went there with my mom, my sister, my grandmother, my aunt, and my three cousins, two twin girls, and an older boy.
Wow.
And we were waiting in line to go into the studio, and there was this woman that was just walking around looking at kids and asking them how old they were and if they wanted to play a game. And I just remember sitting there, and I put on the cutest little face I could think of. And just stared this woman in the eye, and she came right up to me, and she's like, "How old are you?" And I think I said I was 7, and she's like, "You're too young, I'm sorry." And I just felt this crushing feeling. It was terrible. But my cousins got to play several games, and they won a bunch of board games and all the standard stuff. The Mamba. They got a shit ton of Mamba. It was cool.
Mamba as in...
candy.
The chewy candy that's like...
Yeah.
Gross,
okay, that's what I thought you meant.
Starburst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yum.
Mamba. We're like gross Starburst.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's that was so cool. I loved watching that show. I loved how Bozo would have these amazing circus acts.
Do you guys remember any of the other clowns? Do you remember Cookie and Spiffy?
Cookie
was my favorite.
Cookie lived a mile away from me.
Yeah, Cookie had to leave. I remember I was so sad. Does anyone remember what happened to Cookie?
I do remember.
No.
Because Cookie left and I was like heartbroken.
Yeah,
I loved
him. He was my favorite.
He was a great clown.
They kept talking about him once he was gone. They were like, oh, he might come back or something like that. But he never came back. Ever.
God, Cookie, the thing that I remember the most was when Cookie actually won that bet at the end that he always makes with Bozo to lead the Grand March. And you know, because Bozo would always lead the Grand March out, and he got to hold this really cool baton and this bright silver knob on top and this
gold tassel
fringe. Oh, God. And he was just leading all of these, like, children and mothers and fathers on this great Grand March. And one week, I forget what happened, but Cookie won. And it was a complete mistake. But Cookie, actually, the buffoon, ended up getting to lead the march out. It was like the greatest Bozo episode ever.
Oh, wow.
I remember how psyched I was. I like couldn't believe that it happened.
It's like when Coyote catches the Roadrunner.
And snaps its neck.
You did it! You did it! Kill that bird!
Yeah. I always want the Roadrunner to die.
And dude, the amount of pies... Pie in the face jokes are so funny to me.
Yeah, I do like pie.
There are a few.
It helps because the clown does a good take after. He looks at the camera and goes,
It's the most clown. Like, what in a.
It's great.
Someone got pie recently. Rupert Murdoch got. Well, they didn't actually get him.
It
someone
was an
tried,
attempted pie.
They tried to pie Rupert Murdoch and, like.
It's just such a humiliating act.
Yeah.
How does it get any lower than somebody shoving a pie in your face?
And the more real the pie, like if it's actually a good pie.
But it's perfect because he is the ultimate. You have to pie pieing someone sad is just, you have to pie like the wealthy dowager.
Well, that's in The Simpsons when they said the more dignified the person, the funnier the pie joke.
Exactly.
I completely agree
He's
with
a
him.
Billionaire. Yeah. He's such a powerful, like, getting him with a
I would argue if you, on the opposite side of the spectrum, if you found the saddest person in the world and you pied him in the face, still funny.
Still very funny.
Or
babies.
Oh, no.
You have to be
aware. Because they just don't understand.
Pie would, like,
they drown.
Their head.
No, you don't. You clean them off immediately.
Well, and you'd use one of those, hostess sized pies.
You just make the pie out of baby food. No, you make the tiny pie.
Like
you
baby
just make
pie?
A tiny pie. Baby pie.
Dude, I don't know how to make regular pies. I can't make
pie
a baby pie.
Baby in the face.
It's gotta be easier.
Yeah,
a real
chicken pot pie. Good idea, Cloud.
Speaking of pies, speaking of Peter Sellers, going back to that, the original ending of Dr. Strangelove was an epic pie fight.
Pie fight in the war room.
Pie fight in the war room.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the war room, and after the nuclear bombs go off, they found out there's a Russian a spy in there, and they have the entire movie, you see this banquet table in the background, just food and pies, but it never gets addressed because the ending scene's not there. It's this huge epic pie fight. You can see videos of it. But it got deleted. It got cut out because the movie came out. This is like, I think it goes on film as like one of the greatest immediate recall film to cut out a scene. The movie came out like 2 weeks after the assassination of JFK. And there's a line because a pie hits, played by Peter Sellers, the president, and he goes down, and they say, I think it was like George C. Scott, who goes, oh, he was too young, he was our youngest president, or something like that. And it's supposed to be like one of the greatest, like, hysterical endings to a movie, like in this farce, and they're like, oh God, bring, and they just had a recall of every single print of Dr. Strangelove.
Cut the pie fight scene!
Cut the pie fight scene.
That's
like
gold! That was the whole movie!
But what, it was like the ultimate clown ending to like this farce of like modern, of like the Cold War and military war machine.
Because
that
would
have
been awesome.
I never saw that ending.
If you Google it, you can find photos of the scene, and just everyone's just covered in pies.
Awesome.
Like, it's hilarious.
Because you turn, when you hit someone in the face with a pie, they turn into a clown. No matter what they were, now they're sitting there and everyone's laughing at them and pie's dripping down their face. They've become a clown.
Whether they like it or not.
Yeah, you've turned them into a clown.
Maybe that's why it's the most dignified person is the funniest to Pi, because they're probably the least likely to want to turn into a clown.
Yeah.
As much as I love clowns, I was afraid of them for a while. Did you have a fear of clowns, LP?
You know, not as much. Christopher had a giant fear of clowns.
Yeah?
But there's that story, that urban legend. About,
What are you doing?
And this is the part of the podcast where Nikula reacts.
The story goes like this.
No.
Cool's getting
I'm leaving. Fuck this.
Oh my god, wait, the one in the closet?
Fuck this shit.
Go ahead.
What happens is...
Really
Nick, by the way, Makula has run upstairs. The last sound he emitted was an eek.
And now Matt Castelvi is coming to take his place.
I got it.
Hey, Castelvi.
Tagging in for the rest of the scene.
Right. I made the best Makula
thing that happened. I know it's Urban Legend story.
You going to tell the clown Urban Legend?
Yeah, the clown Urban Legend story is parents go out for a date night, and they leave their two kids with the babysitter. They tell the babysitter, okay, put them to bed by like 6 o'clock. The younger one has been having bad dreams about clowns, so it's going to get him a little longer to fall asleep. But, you know, try and get him to go to sleep. And give me a call after you put him to sleep. So the babysitter calls the parents and is like, okay, I got him to sleep. Yeah, it was really hard, but, I mean, it's no wonder he's having nightmares about clowns. You have that giant, like, life-size doll clown in your weight room, like in that rocking chair. And the parents go, like, get the kids out of the house. We don't have anything like that. And when the cops showed up, he was still there, and it was an escaped mental patient that was living in their house for 3 months.
For 3 months?
For 3 months without them knowing.
Variation.
That's Those are bad parents.
Yeah, everyone has a different story. Because obviously,
I've heard some sort of variant of that, where he's just in the closet. Yeah.
What kind of shitty homeowner are you that you can go 90 days without noticing the clown in your house?
That's exactly how a clown scene in a movie would be. A clown would totally hide in somebody's house for 3 months before it being
Makula is now
discovered.
In the chat room. Because I hate this story. This is Makula. Stop it.
No, clowns are scary. I read
Stevie
somewhere
King's It.
They're scary when they're taken out of context. Like, if you see a clown in a circus, they're very funny. But if you go to the dentist and you're sitting there and you're nervous, you're waiting, you look and there's just like a clown standing.
Clown with like one of those ball paddle things with a string, just hitting it and looking at you.
Wait
I
a second. I just want to point out right now. Nick Makula has crossed like 3 mediums.
Yeah.
He was here, right, then he
tech,
was.
Tech. All right, see you guys.
Bye,
Castelvi. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Castelvi.
I was totally looking forward to Matt Castelvi's 7 words of wisdom.
I can do that later.
Yeah.
But seriously, hang on a second. He was here, then he left the room and was only in on audio described by Keith. Yeah. Then he signed into the chat room, commented, and then came back.
A clown.
What a clown.
What a clown. I don't know anyone in the world that would do that.
Hello. Seriously, that's a horrible story. That story gave me nightmares when you told me that like 2 weeks ago.
Dude, I freaked out too.
Yeah, everyone goes to bed in the first apartment. I'm usually the last one up. And I'll go downstairs before I go to sleep to have a cigarette. And I always come down the stairs and the room's pitch dark. And I think about, what if there's a clown on the wait set waiting for me? And it's... It's scary. It's like when you shower and you check to see if there's any cobwebs above you.
What?
It's like when I shower in the morning and I check for clowns in my hand.
No, let me explain this.
Makula, I know why you're worrying about that. It's because of that clown that lives just
out
the door of Chris's room. Just out the door, you never go
by. He'll get you first, Chris.
Oh, I'm not scared of clowns.
But they'll still kill you.
They only
it doesn't
kill
matter.
You if you're scared of them. They know if you're scared of them.
They're like bees.
Yeah, your fear makes them stronger.
What bees don't do that?
No, they can smell
you.
Fear.
And then they kill you if you're afraid.
That's
but they just make me laugh. When I see a clown, I just laugh.
Did you guys ever see, I just remembered, that episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? With Zeebo the Clown. That freaked me the fuck out with clowns for a while.
That was
probably one of the best Are You Afraid of the Dark.
Yeah, but it was...
The cool one is, the two most terrifying.
What?
The pool one, where like these cool kids find this old pool in their high school. Gross dude. He's like all bloody, and he comes up out of the pool and kills him. Like on a raft, and he's like, ah. Maybe he doesn't kill him, but
I don't think I've seen that
is
one.
The dude that lives in the pool? Oh, it's terrible.
If they ever kill children, they kill, like, children from the past. They tell a story of an old past tale where children were killed.
Yeah, no,
and
no,
now those
no
ghost children
kids.
Need to have their souls released,
yeah.
Or else the Pumpkin Man will be real.
No,
submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society, I bring you the story of Pumpkin Man.
Captain, my captain, this is the weirdest Dead Poets Society meeting ever.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure had scary clowns.
Yes, it
oh
did.
My God.
I like
the
icicle I watched.
Scene.
Ugh, yeah, they were surging. That was yeah. They I remember because he had because you didn't know he was going to be a clown. No, didn't he have just like skeleton teeth or something?
They're just
something
creepy
like
clowns.
That. Yeah, they were really creepy. Because
yeah.
Was
the best movie.
No, no, I know. You're right. I thought the same thing.
Oh, I think now is the perfect time for me to tell you guys something that I should confess.
Okay.
Tins, Keith, and Mark specifically.
What is in our house, Biwo?
Not yet. It's coming.
Oh, all right.
No. I have a large portrait framed that is autographed by the one and only Chick the Clown.
Yes.
Chick?
Chick the Clown.
I don't know who that is.
Tell the story.
What clown is this whose autograph poster?
I also don't know the Chick Clown.
It's I know. Story.
Is it a Chick Clown?
Nope. You're going to find out. Chick the Clown is a... He was a friend... I guess his wife got her hair done by my grandmother. And my grandmother knew that I loved clowns and I was like real into circus stuff. And so... but I was very young. I was about 2 or 3. So, I was very young. And this woman who my grandmother did her hair, she said, well, my husband is a clown. And he's in this circus. I forget what it was. It was one of those indie circuses. They're in like a theater. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I think it was like
that. Oh, yeah. Their old shit is better at that circus, though.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't like Ringling Brothers. It was like something a little bit smaller. But it was like bigger than the Shriners. You know what I mean?
Chick,
C-H-I-C, I believe.
C-I-C, or Chick.
Yeah.
I'm trying to bing
the Yingling Brothers.
Or him.
It. It's an it.
Or you could try it with a K, but
I
don't remember. But yeah, but anyway, so they got me free tickets to this circus. And so my parents took me to this circus. And this circus was one of those indie circuses, so it was a little bit more in your face. There were a lot more explosions. The clowns were mean. They, some of the... Ringling Brothers has more cartoonish clowns that are more harmless, you know? But some of these indie circuses have some serious fucking clowns, right? And so it was really intense for me as a young child. It was just so much stimuli. These loud, loud noises. These aggressive clowns with angry laughs. Not the happy bozo laugh, the angry clown laugh.
It's really scary.
And so it was really intense. And so then, my parents had arranged for a special meeting with me and Chick the Clown, who I had just seen frighten me on stage. So they're carrying me to Chick the Clown, and there he is, and he's this... Man, he looks incredibly large to me. He was really about 5'10", and he looked
pretty big.
He was the wrong shape, okay? He was the wrong shape. He had a waist that was way too wide. Clearly he was wearing some sort of hoop or whatever. But it was wrong for a human, and it was difficult for me to process at the time. I was about 3. So he was the wrong shape. His pants did not fit properly. His tie was way too short. And it was the wrong color. And then he just looked at me casually with his giant red nose and his whitened eyes. And he had this mechanism in his pocket where if he squeezed this mechanism, his hair would just go whoop and it would flip up. Well, that was fucking wrong. Humans don't do that. And it freaked me out. So I just bolted. I just screamed and bolted, and I just could not even be brought close to speaking to him. So what he did instead was sign this giant poster of himself, and it was in this beautifully ornate frame that said, "To my friend Brian, from Chick the Clown."
Great. So
how big is this picture?
So which of our bathrooms is this going to hang up in?
I'm going to put it in the bathroom. I'm putting it in your room, Dave.
How big is it?
It's about 2 feet tall by about 1.5 feet wide. So it's a decent...
It's pretty big clown poster.
Can we blow it up bigger and give you guys a copy from Hula?
Just put it in his weight room.
Yeah. I'm only going to be just dressing up as one day and just be in his room.
Oh, dude, you kill him.
Holding know, like dude. A dozen spoons.
Oh, God. Yeah, we should all get... He's we should all just now. Pick a day and just... I'll get clown costumes.
Just give Makula a mad clown
voice. Okay, I'll just say this right now. Nick Makula, if you can get the band Spoon to dress up as clowns and hold spoons, I'll buy you a steak dinner.
Sweet. Nice.
But it's on. Everyone.
We got that recorded, too, so that's nice.
Great. Wonderful. It actually looks like we are just about running out of time here. We're at about 55 minutes.
But I can't even drive a golf cart. Why would I want to know anything about golf?
You're right, Keith. I guess you might need some of Cloud's golf tips.
Prepared 2 buckets full of golf balls. One with actual golf balls. The other ones are made of white chocolate that's starting to melt. When do you... sneakily switch the real ones with the white chocolate ones so that your opponent has the edible golf balls. And then when they go to hit them, it'll just be melty and won't happen.
That has been Cloud's golf tips.
Tap out!
That was very helpful.
I know. What fools?
This podcast is all the doings of the group are partially sponsored by Uncle Fun, which is a toy, book, prank, etc. store just about on the corner of Belmont and Southport here in sunny Chicago, Illinois. They've got a wonderful staff. They've got amazing products. Everything there is so silly. Like, you want to talk about clown stuff. Everything in there is so silly and such a childish treat to stroll around in there. So if you live in the Chicago area and you haven't gotten a chance to go to Uncle Fun, make sure to check them out. And they're at UncleFunChicago.com. And with that, we're just about at the end of the podcast. It looks like Castelvi and Makula are currently figuring out who's going to do the words of wisdom this week.
God damn it,
it's
going to
be Castelvi.
I gotta do these things now.
I guess.
Tag in and tag out. You wanna tag in?
Tag in and tag out.
Every other word.
Alright, well, just come here. I'm not getting up again.
Do it together.
It looks like it's just about time for Nick Makula's 7 words of wisdom.
Look out, Makula.
No more chickens left.
This has been. Nick Makula's 7 words of wisdom.
Featuring Matt Castelvi.
I like that very much.
It was almost a sentence, that one.
We got close.
We did.
Yay!
You did.
No, it was look out, Nick. There was more chicken.
I need to apologize why I left the podcast about 10 minutes. I was trying to find my makeup kit to dress up as a clown so I can hide behind the
weight room. Is that what you were saying?
And seriously? Scare the crap out of all of you.
Weirdo.
Oh, man. He's trying to mouth this to me, and I said, and it sounded like he was doing face bite. And I said, face bite? I mouthed at him, and he said, yes.
I saw you, like, doing something weird with your face, Castelvi.
He was behind you, and he's like, apparently he was trying to say, where's my makeup? But he did face, where he mimed his face, and then he started biting. And so I'm like, face bite? And he's like, yes.
What a clown.
Goddamn idiot.
What a clown.
You really are a clown. You left to go try and be a better clown, and you failed.
It was a great Makou d'etat.
There was
no Makou d'etat.
It didn't happen. It didn't happen, though.
And your name is Makula. What a clown name.
And with that, we're going to have to leave you guys for this week. Check back on the website every week for a fresh podcast. And if you're not listening to the podcast live, maybe you should be. We start our live podcast right from octavarius.com every Monday, about 9:45 p.m. Central Standard Time is when we kick it off. So check it out. You can chat with us as the podcast is going on. It's a lot of fun. And that about does it. Come see our circus show if you're listening live this Sunday, 7 p.m. at Comedy Sports. And if you're not listening live, your next available show will be, which is that,
Game Shows, hosted
by none other than Matt Castelli. Mm-hmm. So check that out. Until next time, have 8 days and a wicked week.
Save.
Bye, everyone.
Run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for me.
You know I know stuff about those things.